Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Bill Constant is program officer for the International Rhino Foundation, and as part of the Cincinnati Zoo's Barrows Conservation Lecture Series, he'll present a talk titled The World's Rarest Rhinos this coming Wednesday evening. Thane Maynard recently had a chance to talk to Constant about what the future looks like for the world's five rhino species.
All right, Bill Constant of the International Rhino Foundation.
Hello, Thane.
Well, I'm delighted you're coming to town because, as you know, Cincinnati Zoo is in the rhino business. We have three species.
Cincinnati is rhinos.
That's right. That's right. And, of course, we're famous for black rhinos. They're on our logo. And we have Indian rhinos. We're probably most famous for Sumatran rhinos. And you're one of my few friends who's actually been to Sumatran. Tell us a bit about the status of that species and what you saw when you were there.
Well, the status of the species, it's critically endangered and deserves to be that, given the number that we think are still left in the wild. And that number has decreased in recent years. It's in the low hundreds at best, you know, maybe between 100 and 200 animals. And this is a chronic condition for the Sumatran rhinos. Tropical forest species, loss of habitat. They have been, you know, victims of poaching for decades, if not centuries. And you know, that's the bad news. The good news is that they're found in three national parks in Indonesia. Still, there's still a few left on the island of Borneo, and in Indonesia on Sumatra. In two of the three places that they're found, they're actually being very well protected by rangers, rhino protection units that have, you know, over the last almost decade maintained protection to the degree that there are zero reports of poaching. And, you know, that's a real accomplishment in this day and age.
It sure is. And, in fact, it's heartening to me, Bill, because our zoo, as you know, is very involved in Sumatran rhino conservation, certainly breeding them here and working there to help breed them in captivity as they have. But we've also for 25 years supported things like those anti-poaching units, and I'm glad to hear they're finally taking hold.
Yeah, you mentioned that I'd been to Sumatra several times in the last couple of years, and on each occasion have been with the rhino protection units in the field, both on Sumatra and Java, where they're doing pretty much the same with the Javan rhino. And it's very impressive, very heartwarming, if you will, to see the dedication that these people have. This is their job, but they take it very seriously. They spend half the month, half of each month in the field. They do 10 miles plus per day on the lookout for poachers, but also gathering information about the rhinos and also elephants, tigers, tapirs, and other threatened wildlife. I mean, the rhinos pretty much serve as a flagship species for, a few dozen other threatened animals.
Yeah, those are remarkable forests where they live. And you know what's interesting, and you and I, of course, are old pals, you've been at conservation a long time, as I have, and yet, Bill, you've got to admit, you remain remarkably optimistic, even though sort of the plight of rhinos is pretty dire.
When you're dealing with species that number, if you take Sumatran rhinos and Javan rhinos, combined, there are probably no more than 200 of them left on the planet. Those are pretty scary numbers. But if you look at some of the species that have, if you dare use the term, have been saved from extinction in during our lifetimes or our careers in conservation, there have been species that have been much in much dire straits, if you will, black-footed ferret, California condor, down to the low teens or, a couple dozen animals, pink pigeon the same way. You look at the Mauritius kestrels, down to seven birds back in the 1980s, and those species have come back and, now number in the hundreds or more, and they've been restored to former habitats. So there are good examples of how good science and research and conservation efforts in the field can bring our species back.
Now, there are three other species besides the ones you've mentioned. What's the status of the Indian rhino and the African rhino species?
If we look at the numbers alone, I mean, there are the Indian rhino is classified as vulnerable, while the two Asian rhinos are critically endangered. And that's got to do with how the populations basically are found in nature. But Indian rhinos number about 3,300 or a few, more than that. Most of them in one national park in northeastern India. That's a low number. So it's obviously an order of magnitude larger than both of the other Asian rhinos. But it's also one that came up from only a few hundred animals back at the turn of the 20th century. So those numbers are increasing, and the places they're being restored to habitats in which they used to exist but had been, hunted out. Now new protection efforts are for providing them, a safe return. Then you go to the black rhino in Africa, which is a little over 5,000 now. It's actually at near the lowest point in recent history. It used to number in the many tens of thousands, if not 100,000 or more, throughout much of sub-Saharan Africa. But it was reduced to only about 2,500 animals about 20 years ago. Between 1960 and the mid-1990s, that species took a nosedive and was probably being killed between 5 and 10 animals per day on average for over 20 years, which is incredible when you think about it. Its numbers are being built back up. The white rhino, pretty much like the Indian rhino, was down to a few hundred individuals, if not less, in the turn of the 20th century. But through translocations and captive breeding, and its numbers have, in a sense, skyrocketed to over 20,000 animals, which is where it is right now. But having said that, it's the species that's most readily sought by poachers today. So it's taking the brunt of the poaching pressure in South Africa and neighboring countries.
You know what's fascinating to me about that is you would think that we had learned enough sort of in the last big wave of poaching, in the 80s when they finally burned some rhino horns and symbolically burned elephant tusks and said, let's put a ban on international trade. And yet it's back with a vengeance. Everywhere you go in Africa, they talk about rhinos having recently been poached. What are the numbers on that, and what do you think the solution is?
Why don't you ask me a tough question?
Yeah.
Well, the numbers are this year, the year just concluded, 2013, just over 1,000 rhinos were poached in South Africa alone, which, is between 2 and 3 animals a day. Now, again, compare that to what happened to the black rhino, and it's within historical proportions. Having said that, it's not sustainable over the long term. Pretty much what's being looked at this point is, which are the key populations? Because there are populations of varying size, and white rhinos are held by both private individuals and the current government lands. So at the end of the day, the solution is going to boil down to which populations do we focus on, and where is the investment in protection, and the things that we know that work, where are those resources best put? The reason that it escalated again, or one of the reasons, is because poaching has become much, much more sophisticated, tied to organized crime, maybe tied to international terrorism, and so the price of rhino horn is on the black market is equivalent or more than gold, platinum, heroin. It's incredibly big business. It's not going to be easy. It could get worse before it gets better. But I think you made the point. This same scenario has been witnessed before, and measures were taken and they worked. And I guess I'm optimistic that similar measures will be taken and they will work again.
Well, certainly good folks are working on rhinos and other species. As you said, when you were talking about the Sumatrans, they're in some ways sort of a flagship or umbrella species for the other animals that live in that same ecosystem. So we don't have a lot of time, but tell us briefly, a lot of folks might not have heard of the IRF, the International Rhino Foundation. What do you guys do?
Well, the IRF is committed to the survival of all five rhino species, black, white in Africa, the greater one-horned Indian or Indian rhino in India and Nepal, and then the Sumatran and the Javan rhinos, which basically are found in Indonesia and Malaysia. So that means our task is global to some degree, but has to be focused because you have only a few points at which to work, in which these places where these animals still exist. Much of what has to be done in the wild, but that there are managed breeding programs that also factor into this into the equation. It's a small number of animals in captivity, but it's a representative sample of the total population. And you know, the Cincinnati Zoo, of course, and its contribution to captive breeding of Sumatran rhinos is well known. No, I mean it's a dispersed organization, if you will, because our staff here in the United States it's a very small number of people who are actually working on it. You know, but a broad network that includes the zoo community to a large degree. But then on the ground, it's the rhino protection units in the field, mm-hmm. The people who are monitoring rhinos in Africa and in India, and in most cases we have very, very strong national partners, non-governmental organizations with whom we work. And they carry out the work on the ground. So and to a great degree, our work is to find the resources that they need to do their programs. You have to have boots on the ground, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. We all look forward to your lecture at the zoo on Wednesday night, April 23rd. My guest has been Bill Constant from the International Rhino Foundation. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.